You're listening to Friendlier, the podcast for friends who love to talk, read, and eat. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Abby. Today we're going to talk about getting stuff done, but first, let's catch up on life lately. What's new with you, Sarah?
I am really looking forward to the eclipse. Bloomington is in the path of totality for the solar eclipse that is coming through on April 8th. There is just so much talk in the town about what's going to happen and all the people that are going to be here. We're getting our glasses ready. My parents are coming. My sister's coming. My brother and his family are coming. So I think it'll be just a really fun time with family and a really unique event. We went to the one that was in Missouri in 2017 when my parents' house was in the path of totality. And the kids say they remember, but they were very young. So I feel like this one will really make an impression and be something that they remember. I'm just looking forward to it. It's fun to have an event like that that so many people are excited about and experiencing all together. Fingers crossed, it's not a cloudy day.
Yes. We weren't in totality the last time, but it's still so cool.
What's new with you, friend?
We got a puppy.
What?
Listeners may remember that I said that I never wanted a puppy.
I remember.
And I still didn't really want a puppy, but I really wanted a dog. And we are having a really hard time finding a rescue dog to adopt. And so instead we found a rescue puppy. And her name is Edie, and she's a Bernese Mountain Dog, and she is peak puppy. She is very mouthy. She is teething. She gets really excited and gets the zoomies. And she's also really a love and really good with the kids and really good with the cats. And I have a lot of high hopes about the very good doggo she will be when she grows up.
Yeah. Can't wait to meet her when I make it down to Birmingham, and she'll be hopefully past the teething stage.
May it happen sooner than later, friends. Now let's talk about what we've been reading. What's your latest book, Sarah?
I read In the Wild Light by Jonathan Zentner. This is a young adult novel about Cash and Delaney, who are two best friends from a small town in East Tennessee. Delaney is academically gifted, discovers a mold in a cave nearby that can fight antibiotic-resistant bacteria, and so she gets accepted to a prestigious boarding school in Connecticut. Her condition for attending is that Cash also gets to attend. The rest of the story follows their experience navigating the culture shock of life at the school. The language was incredibly poetic, which I loved. I found myself wanting to savor the book as I read, which I haven't felt in a reading experience in a really long time. The author also beautifully portrayed life in Appalachia, the hardship, but also its beauty. There is nothing I did not like. It was a great read. I have been reading so much YA fiction this semester, and this one has been my favorite by far.
Nice.
I would recommend it for anyone looking for a well-written young adult novel that tackles issues of class. I would also highly recommend the audiobook. It was an amazing reader and really added to the reading experience.
Ooh, I gotta put it on my list.
Yep. What have you been reading?
I recently finished the third book of the Her Royal Spinous series by Rhys Bowen. So I've read now the first three, and the first book is also called Her Royal Spinous, if people want to find it. It's the 1830s in England, and Georgie, Lady Georgiana, is 34th in line to the throne. She hails from a Scottish castle where her brother, the Duke of Rannoch, and his wife also live. So Georgie decides to move to London to get out from under the thumb of her sister-in-law. But the family has lost all their money over the years, so they really don't have any money. And so part of the tension with her sister-in-law is wanting an allowance and spending money. So they're aristocrats, but they don't have any money, which is kind of a different thing. I sort of feel like when you read historical fiction, if they're aristocrats, then they just have all the servants and the money and whatever. So Georgie moves to London, and she lives in Rannoch House, which is the family house in London, but she doesn't take any servants with her, and she's living there by herself, and she has to figure out how to make money in London, and it's also on the cusp of the Great Depression. and she solves mysteries and has a love interest along the way.
All right.
These are not my favorite cozy mysteries. Mm-hmm. They are pretty basic, but they're fun. And if you are in the mood for cozies, then I think it scratches the itch, especially if you're in between Lady Sherlock and Veronica Speedwell. So mm-hmm. I would recommend these if that's what you're needing.
Sounds good.
Let's move on to our topic for today, getting stuff done. I'm excited to talk about this because I generally feel like I am terrible at getting stuff done, but I think it's a little more nuanced than that. Mm-hmm. So Sarah, how do you feel you are getting stuff done?
I think I have grown in my capacity to get stuff done over time.
Mm.
I think when I was a young adult, I was, I don't want to say lazy, because I think I did accomplish a lot, but I do think I was more avoidant about getting annoying tasks completed. Whereas since having kids, I think I have more of a, this needs to happen, so let's make it happen kind of attitude, at least related to the logistical aspects of running a household. I think overall, I spend less energy bemoaning the fact that I have to do things and just do them. But related to school, I have almost always been very deadline driven, especially related to writing based assignments.
Uh-huh.
I need the pressure and finality of a deadline to get it done.
Yep.
Because it's not fun for me. And if there is an option to stop doing it, I will stop doing it. I think I did a better job with assignments that were more straightforward, like math, that felt like, okay, I work my way through the problem and then I'm done with the problem. But anything where writing an essay, bigger projects, all of that.
More open-ended.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That is not my strong suit. And then for household projects, things like decluttering or organizing, I think I go through spurts where there'll be long periods where I don't do anything, and then I'll feel really motivated and energized and focus on it for a week, which seems very appropriate for those kinds of tasks. I do not want to spend every week of my life organizing or decluttering, but it feels so great when I do have the energy to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me more about how you do or don't get stuff done.
Like I said, I'm not amazing about getting stuff done. Do I do most things I need to eventually? Yes. Do I also procrastinate just about everything to the very last minute? Also, yes. And this was true for school. I wasn't writing as many writing assignments as you were as a student because I was in more of the like science classes where it was like learning things. But I waited to the last minute to study for tests. Mm-hmm. When I was a journalist, I waited to the last minute to write my writing assignments. I would be writing starting at 10 p.m. when they were due at 7 a.m. the next morning. It's not great.
I did a lot of waking up early in college to get stuff done because I like to sleep. So I'd go to sleep but set my alarm for 3:30 a.m. so that I could start writing the essay that was due that day. Yeah.
Yeah. And I would do things like start studying at 4 p.m., study until 8 p.m., go to sleep for 4 hours, study from midnight until 6 a.m., go to breakfast, and then go take the test at 8 a.m. and then go back to bed.
Wow. I just like sleep way too much to commit to a true 12 a.m. to 6 a.m. study session, I think.
And sometimes it would be more like 12 to 3, go back to bed.
Yeah.
Let it sink in a little bit to the long-term memory.
Yes. Glad that's over.
Yeah, for real. And so that's true for housework and school. It's also sometimes true for charting at work, which I really am trying to get better at because it makes my life so much harder to chart everything in the last hour or two of a shift. That said, sometimes I still do it. Okay, Sarah, are there certain tasks that you are happy to start and finish quickly?
Cleaning the kitchen is one for me. It always needs to be done. I'm not the primary after dinner cleaner usually, but there are just always dishes to be cleaned in a household throughout the day. And I don't mind doing it. To me, it is mindless in an enjoyable way. I don't mind most household tasks where I can listen to a podcast or audiobook and just zone out and make it happen and then see the task finished and crossed off the list.
Mm-hmm.
I find that very satisfying. I love anything that is easy to check off a list. So I think I'm also really good at things like filling out forms where you just have to type in the same information over and over to register kids for camp or for school, taxes. Discrete tasks that are straightforward are my favorite. And I like doing them and I feel so good when they're done.
I can see that. For me, tasks that I'm excited to start and finish quickly are any tasks that I'm excited about doing. My intrinsic motivation is key and it waxes and wanes. So at work, this is almost always patient care. I am usually happy to do the physical work and emotional work of taking care of patients. And so that's not hard for me. It's not hard for me to motivate to like get up and go into the room and talk to people and get to know them and take care of them and help them take care of their babies and all these things. The charting is the downfall there. Because in nursing, if you didn't chart it, it's like you didn't do it.
Right. And there's so much handing off to the next person, right?
Yes.
I imagine.
That you have to have charted it or else they don't know what you did. And then, like you said, sometimes I'll get it in my head that I need to get a bunch of stuff out of the house, for instance. I need to do a bunch of decluttering, like that sort of the frenzy of decluttering comes upon me. And so I do that really quickly and I'm really happy to start it and I'm really happy to finish it. And I'm really happy to let other less motivated tasks go to the wayside.
Yes.
It's also usually easy for me to get excited about things outside. I would rather be outside doing yard work or gardening than most other things. And unlike you, I love planning and research and envisioning and preparation part of a task. I know we've talked about that before and you're going to touch on that a little bit later. But for me, the planning and stuff is really fun. It's the execution where I struggle.
Yeah.
So what do you procrastinate on, Sarah?
Anything amorphous, I will push it off until a deadline forces me to act. So, like you mentioned, all shopping and researching of things to buy. I hate it. We have needed to make an online order of just various little things, and I can't do it. I can't be bothered. I don't want to look things up. I don't want to research things. I don't want to try on the right thing. So it's been like a month where we've needed to order stuff, and we just have not done it. I don't even feel happy or accomplished when I finally do it. I just feel annoyed about the time that I spent on it. Whereas other things, I'm like, oh, good work, Sarah. You did a great job. And with this, I'm just like, ugh, the whole way through. That's how I feel. Also in this category for me are things that require me to leave my house, which I think sounds kind of sad, but it's just that extra step of needing to fit it into my day. And once I am home, I do not want to leave my house and go somewhere else. And it feels like it takes up so much of my free time to have to run an actual errand outside of the house. So, for example, I need to get dirt to repot a bunch of my plants, but I just don't get the soil. It's not far. It would not be hard to do. But in the limited free time I have, making an extra shopping trip is just not on the list. So the plants are just sad. What tasks do you procrastinate on?
Anything that feels annoying. So charting, folding laundry, putting away clean laundry, and also the last 5 to 10% of any project. Mostly done projects are my specialty, but not completely done. So for instance, when we lived in Nashville, I painted our half bathroom. It was so cute. It was like a cheery coral orangey color. And I needed to touch up the ceiling. And I just didn't do it and didn't do it and didn't do it. I never did it. My mom eventually did it right before we moved out. Thanks, Mom. I'm the worst. I just can't do the things. Are there tasks you would be happy to never do again, Sarah?
Writing for school. I cannot wait to never do this again. I love the learning. I love the reading. I hate taking the time to synthesize everything into coherent sentences to show what I've learned. And writing is a strength of mine. It's not that I can't do it. It's just that I really don't like it.
Do you feel that way just about writing for school? Or do you feel that way about writing for fun too? Like, did you used to feel that way about blogging when we did blogging?
That's a good question. I don't think I really enjoyed the writing process even then. I liked having the completed thing to see and look back on and to document it.
Yeah.
But actually writing it. And I think part of it is that I am so particular about the way that I write and think I spend too much time on it. And so then I feel frustrated with myself for not being able to just get something out there and be done with it and move on. And so then I'm just thinking about all the time that I spent on it. And I have never really enjoyed writing.
I don't either. And it's crazy because I was a writer for years.
Yeah.
And some people who are writers and people who write books, they feel like they can't not write. Like they really love writing. And maybe it's hard for them because, you know, butt in chair and all that. But I have never felt like that.
I will be done soon.
So soon.
With my writing career and am overjoyed at the prospect of moving on.
Yay.
Other tasks I would be happy to never do again include cleaning the glass doors of our shower. I am the only one in my family who does this, and it's very annoying. It's not the worst. I compare it with an audiobook. Still really hate it. I hate having to be in the shower and soap scum. I don't like it. And then online shopping. Really, I would love to never do any shopping again in my life besides for food. It would just be great if that task went away. And my final one is yard work. Though, to be fair, I do very little of this right now. And mostly what I hate is using our real push mower, as I feel like the yard looks the same after as it did before, and then I feel irritated about that. We are slowly solving that problem by having a lot of our yard turn to moss and small weeds.
Problem solved.
But I also think maybe I like yard work fine that's not mowing. I actually have high hopes for planting native plants, doing mulching, gardening, when I'm not spending so much time writing things.
Yeah.
So we shall see how that works out going forward.
Yeah, that one might be better. I agree with you that mowing is really terrible. But the things that you're saying, like mulching and even weed pulling that has a defined time, like I'm going to pull the weeds from this little parkway.
It's a discrete task.
And then it's going to really look so much better right away.
Yes. I love when you can see what you've done.
For sure.
And I think that you do get that with yard work, just not when you use the kind of mower that we use, then you can't tell.
Yeah. And we just also don't mow. I just pull weeds and then our grass stays a certain length. And I'm trying to get the grass to all be dead anyway under leaves and cardboard and mulch. So that's satisfying.
That's another way to solve that problem.
Killing grass is very fun. So the tasks that I would be happy to never do again are folding laundry and putting it away. No problem washing it. Love to put it in the washer. Love to put it in the dryer. Don't even really mind hanging it out to dry. Really hate bringing it in. From hanging out to dry, really hate folding it, really hate putting it away. Right now, there are at least three piles of clean laundry at various places in our downstairs that we're just digging through.
I think for me, laundry gives me that feeling of here's the pile and then I see it get put away and that feels satisfying to me. So I find that very motivating in terms of putting away laundry. I don't mind that task at all.
I think I might hate it less if I felt like we had a better clothes storage situation. You know, I talked about that. We talked about what we want to change in our homes. That if I had better storage for clothes and wasn't just like shoving things in all of our drawers. It's my drawers. It's the kids' drawers. It's just not great.
Yeah.
And so I think if I had a better system, then I might like that task more. The putting away part. I would still hate the folding, guaranteed.
My kids have your approach towards laundry, because now we just give them a clean basket of their clothes and they don't really put it away. I try and do a once a week, actually get your stuff in. And what HP does is he doesn't fold it. He's like, why would I fold clothes? That doesn't make any sense. That seems like a waste of time.
And he's so, not wrong.
He has two drawers. One is for pants and pajamas and one is for shirts and sweaters. And then a small one at the top for underwear and socks and just dump it in. Root through it when you need it. And it's one of those things where I'm like, am I failing my children in not teaching them how to take care of their clothes and fold them up and have it look nice? I'm just like, you know what? That's not the worst thing in the world. They're fine.
Nope. This is not a hill we need to die on.
And then E usually will do it once a week where she folds and puts things away. But I don't know. Maybe once a week is an exaggeration. There's a lot of time that my children are living out of clean laundry baskets. But everyone has clothes that they're wearing every day.
Yeah. And sometimes they're clean. Two thumbs up. The other task that I would be happy to never do again is scooping cat litter. I love my cats. I hate scooping cat litter. Mm-hmm. It's just unavoidable. It's something I put up with because I love my cats so much. But really, if we could figure out a way to not do that, that would be great. And I know people have like robot litter boxes and all this stuff. Like that is cost prohibitive. So we're just not doing that.
Yeah. I have wondered if that's a thing where it seems less gross when it's your cats. Because when we were watching our neighbor's cats, and I was like, I could not do this every day. I was gagging while we were cleaning out the litter boxes. And my kids mostly did it, but I would sometimes help. And it was not my favorite task. But I have wondered if it's similar to when you have a kid. Like, I don't remember regularly being grossed out by changing diapers of my children. But I think I would like that less if it was someone else's child.
Yeah.
But maybe it's just not fun. Just dealing with poop, not great.
I don't get grossed out per se. I just feel annoyed about the time the task takes.
Oh, interesting. I found it to be a very overwhelming sensory experience for me. Yeah. Yes.
I also think the litter you use makes a difference because I don't know what kind of litter your neighbor was using, but if you use like a clay litter that has an artificial scent, that does gross me out. That does make me vomit. We use a litter that is unscented, except it's made of walnut hulls. So it's like kind of natural smelling. And that works much better for me.
Still would be great if you didn't have to do it, though.
Yeah, still would be. Is there anything that you found that helps motivate you when you really don't want to do a task, Sarah?
I love imagining the future and how happy I will be once the task is over and I've crossed it off the list. That has been getting me through this semester of school. Mm-hmm. I have a calendar now with every assignment listed with a little checkbox next to it.
Ooh, satisfying.
And thinking about how free I will be in May when it is done is incredibly motivating. And every time I check off one of those little boxes, I'm like, all right.
You're closer.
One assignment closer to being done. So a happy future Sarah who has completed the task is very motivating to me. And I think helps me put it in perspective. It's like, this is annoying. I hate it. It will get done. Mm-hmm. And it will be over.
It'll be over.
And we will move forward. So just keeping that in mind. I am also very motivated by getting positive reinforcement, even when I create that for myself. Like, love to text Neil and tell him how great I am for having done a bunch of annoying tasks and then listing all of them. Those are my favorite ways. Thinking about future me, crossing things off lists, and telling myself how great I am for doing the basic things of life.
Yeah, I do a lot of that self-congratulation around tasks as well. I don't know that I find it motivating necessarily, but I really do like to do it when it's over.
I like to think about how great it will feel to tell somebody about all the things I've done.
I love that.
Mostly my spouse.
So good. So for me, things that are good for me but that are hard to get motivated to do, like going to workout class or taking a walk, it helps me to have a buddy to do it with or pick me up and take me there. The most successful I've been at going regularly to somewhere else to work out is if somebody will grab me and take me on their way to going themselves. For the tasks like scooping litter boxes or folding laundry, having a good audiobook or podcast to listen to or a TV show to watch. For laundry, I watch a lot of TV. And then I've had some success with rewarding myself along the way, like work on something for 30 minutes and then take a 10-minute break. Usually my 10-minute break turns into a 30 or more minute break. So
I was going to say, I don't know that I would be able to only do 10 minutes if I moved away from the task.
Your mileage may vary. Sometimes, like you said, moving away from the task is a pathway to not doing it.
But you got in 30 minutes of work first, so.
Yeah, and you deserve a break. I've also learned that I need to strike while the iron is hot. If I'm in the mood to do something, then I better hurry up and do it right then.
Yeah.
That's probably the best strategy. Well, that's the end of our Getting Stuff Done talk for today. Listeners, we would love to hear how things are getting done around your house, whether you have any strategies that help motivate you, and anything else you would want to share with us. Let's finish, as we always do, by talking about what we've been eating. I would like to tell about the birthday cake that I decorated for Pepper. Pepper and I enjoyed our birthdays this week.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And he requested a monster truck cake. And I was like, how's that going to happen? So listeners, how it happened is we bought an undecorated cookie cake at the grocery store and a can of icing. Mm-hmm. And then I decorated it and I wrote happy birthday Pepper on there. And then I got one of his plastic monster trucks and two marshmallows. And I put the monster truck on the marshmallows stuck on with icing. And he loved it. And I felt amazing.
Great work.
The cookie cake was good, too. Sarah, what have you been eating?
I have been craving Thai food a lot. Mm. I would love to get Thai food takeout every day. And mm-hmm. I was like, you know what, Sarah? Maybe you can make some of these recipes. So I looked up a homemade pad Thai recipe, and we had it this week. Definitely need to do some tweaks mm-hmm. for the future, mostly in that the rice noodles took much longer to cook than it said. And I left them longer because they still seemed a little crunchy. And with rice noodles, what you do is pour hot water over them and then let them soak. You don't cook them in boiling water the same way you do with other noodles. Mm-hmm. But they never got as cooked as I think they needed to. And then at some point, after I had left them there much longer than it said to, I thought, well, maybe they'll just cook in the pan when I'm putting them in with everything else. And that's not really what happened.
A little crunchy.
But it was still good, and I will definitely be making it again and trying to improve upon my success. And also, one of the things in my cart that I have not checked out with is different kinds of curry paste that I saw recommended on the same blog to use for making curries at home, because that is my dream, to be able to have restaurant-level curry in my own home mm-hmm. with all of the veggies and tofu that my heart desires. So if I ever make that order and try it, I will report back.
Sounds amazing.
That's all for this episode of Friendlier. It's been great talking with you, Abby, and with all of you listeners.
You can find out more about everything we talked about today, including what we're reading and eating, in the show notes in your podcast player. You can also leave us a comment on Instagram at Friendlier Podcast or email us friendlierpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Until next time, may your books be engaging, your food delicious, and your conversations friendly.
I didn't put anything. I didn't put anything. I know.
Do you have any good camping things. Food? Any good camping food tips?
Well,
birthday food, birthday dessert.
My tip for camping is to go to camp at a friend's house and let them cook you dinner every night, because that's what our friends
did. Great tip. Love it.